Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
And welcome. Yes, this is Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in the state of North Carolina. Folks, the show is being recorded on Thursday. So here, as you're listening on Sunday, of course, this is when that big storm is supposed to come through, that ice storm comes through today. I hope we don't get hit as hard as we've been told here on Thursday that we're going to get hit. So let's stay safe. Let's stay warm. And today's guest, oh my goodness gracious, today's guest for the show is Dr. Raymond Moody, who 50 years ago, in his best-selling book, Life After Life, pioneered the study of and introduced the language for near-death experiences. In fact, in his book is where that phrase was first used, near-death experiences. And we're going to hear a good bit about that here in our show today. Dr. Moody earned his PhD in philosophy from the University of Virginia, and then a few years later earned an MD from the Medical College of Georgia. And while engaged in all this academic achievement and all this intellectual rigor, Ray was a comedian, sort of a Southern country storytelling humorist, and made his livelihood for a couple of years as a comedian. Ray, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything you'd like to add to the introduction before we get started?
Carl, I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to your wonderful show and to all the folks listening in, because, you know, yes, I'm famous for the interviewing the people with near-death experiences, and thousands of wonderful people I've talked with who've told me their stories, their experiences that happened when they were on the verge of death during a cardiac arrest, for example. And that was fascinating to me because within the context of Greek philosophy, which has kind of been my domineering interest in life, the near-death experiences were studied by Plato and Democritus and so on. It was one of the stimulus of early Greek thought about the way the afterlife and so on. So that was my entree to near-death experiences, and I became very well known for that. But as you mentioned, even from when I was a kid, I loved comedy and humor, and I gained some success, you know, as a comedian. I could have made a living with it for a while, you know. I had a choice between going into forensic psychiatry and becoming a comedian, and I chose murder over comedy. But all through that, you know, creativity, it's just the greatest. There are a lot of different ways of thinking of creativity. I mean, you can think of some kind of psychological process that they test with tests. I don't know how they do it now. Or the way I think of it is just the most exhilarating. What I think of is an alternate state of consciousness. Like when I would do my humor was kind of based around this so-called imaginary town. That's what other people call it. But it's very real to me, but it kind of became real to a lot of other people too who would listen to my things and so on. But, you know, I never just sat there and made up these things. It's like the characters kind of take on a life of their own, and they just sort of, once in a while, I can start telling these stories. I have no idea how they end, but it seems to me to come from elsewhere, right? And
yes.
I'm not trying to talk about myself here, but to illustrate a general point that as I talk to creative people around the world and artists, visual artists, for example, I hear all the time this thing, Raymond, this doesn't come from me. Right, and people kind of gesture vaguely up, right? It comes from through me, or, you know, they have that feeling of reception.
Right.
And that is exactly how my books come to me. You know, Paracelsus, the alchemist who became the founder of the pharmaceutical industry, but he made the statement, and I'm sorry the sexist language here, but he was born in 1493. He said, a man who decides to write a book first creates a kind of heaven in his mind from which the work he desires flows into him. And that's a very accurate the way that when I write a book, that's how it feels. Now, to get to, you know, something outside of Raymond Moody, the Greeks, creativity was personified as the muses.
Right.
And they took this more seriously than we might think, because the in his works and days, or in Hesiod, when he's in his epic and he's describing the scene on Mount Halcyon where he goes up and he sees the muses dancing around the spring. And this was, as I understand, this was not just a literary device, because these places, the museons, as they call them, were the place where the writer or the poet or the singer or the painter would go and sit there by the pool and gaze into the pool. And the idea is to visualize. It works. In modern America, we, people zip around. It's going to be kind of odd to sit down and just gaze into a pond. But those who do and who are not driven by the work ethic, like me, exactly, in the sense that I just like relaxing.
Right.
And you can easily see these very vivid eidetic images of things that are projected into your visual field. So I remember sitting in Greece at this place which had been a museum, and I was being able just to sort of sit on the edge of that pond and just gaze into the pond and get relaxed and see these images dancing around in the
very
water.
Cool.
And you know, this is a culture, like a part of the collective cultural heritage of humankind. Now, right. To get to our point, I've talked with thousands and thousands of people with these near-death experiences, and in a minute but nonetheless interesting fraction of these people will somehow develop a artistic talent because of the experience. It's happened repeatedly and enough that I, you know, this is something that, you know, is very interesting to me. And I've known a number of people who had that very experience. So somehow, by means that we don't know, these people who say they get out of their bodies and they go through a passageway into a light and they see their life in review and they, you know, they feel convinced that there's an afterlife.
Right.
And feel their life bathed in love at the end.
Well, let's stop there for just a quick second, because
yeah.
We do have a break here. But when we come back from the break, Ray is going to tell us about some of the particular stories that he knows about what's happened to people's artistic skills after a near-death experience. So come on back from the break, folks.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for coming back. In the show today, our guest is Dr. Raymond Moody, who is the pioneer, not one of them, but the pioneer in the world of near-death experiences. He talked a little bit about his background and in some of his general thoughts about that phenomena. Here in the second segment, Ray, I'm going to ask you to do something that I know you love to do because I've heard you do it over the phone a couple of times. Talk about some of the individuals that you've interviewed whose life's creative expression changed radically after having a near-death experience, if you would, please.
Yes. There have been so many of them, of course, over the years. But the two really that stand out, and sometime in the 70s, I met this wonderful elderly woman in Toronto who came to my lecture on near-death experiences. And when she did, she brought one of those big leather zipper cases like artists carry around with
the
their
big
stuff
portfolio,
in it, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so anyway, she came up to me after the lecture and she told me about how she was an award-winning artist in Toronto, very well known. And she showed me her art, which she brought, and she explained that she had never had any interest whatsoever in art. But after a near-death experience, she began this fascination with painting. And so she, as I said, even at this advanced age, became a very well-known artist in Canada. And she attributes to her experience while she was adjudged to be dead. Now, even more sensational, there is a wonderful man named Anthony Chicoria. And Anthony has a PhD in physiology, and he is a medical doctor, and he is a distinguished professor emeritus of orthopedic surgery at NYU in upstate New York. And I had actually known about Dr. Chicoria because I had a certain interest in a friend with who was an orthopedic surgeon who had mentioned him to me just in a total different context. But then several years later, I read this article in a medical journal that Dr. Chicoria had been at a family reunion and lined up at an antique instrument, which none of the young folks will know about, but we olders will hear know as a phone booth, right, and a pay phone. And as Dr. Chicoria got to his place in line at the pay phone, he was struck in the neck by a bolt of lightning,
whoa,
which exited his ankle.
Whoa.
And he had a cardiac arrest upon the spot. And it happened that a nurse was the next person in line at this resort center. And so she resuscitated him. But from his point of view, he got out of his body, entered into this realm of light. He was able to find his way around this resort center where his family reunion was going on, and being able to see what his relatives were doing, and even in his out-of-body state before he came back to his body, and then accurately to relate it. But the more striking event that happened was that after recovery from this remarkable transcendent experience, he began unaccountably to become interested in the piano, which he had never any interest in. And he started having the same dream repeatedly, in which he was playing a certain piece on the piano, a piece of music, on a regular basis, on a concert stage. And all of this, of course, to him, I'm sure, also was very humorous. What is going on here? So he, by a remarkable event, he came into the possession of a piano, and he started taking lessons, and he learned how to transcribe music, and he transcribed that piece that he had learned through his dream, because he talked about this to an acquaintance of his who was the famous neurologist Oliver Sacks.
And, oh yes, I've heard of him.
Oliver, yeah. Sacks recommended, by all means, since this music came like it did, you should transcribe it. So anyway, and so now, and he has retired from his professorship, but Anthony is now an esteemed concert pianist.
Wow.
Like recently, he played a concert in Vienna, for example, and I saw him perform. I was on an academic panel with him, and I was sitting at the front of the room, and along with him, and we were kind of facing the audience. But then Anthony stepped to the side and played the piano, and I was looking into the faces of the audience, and people's mouths were open, you know, agape,
right.
And there wasn't a dry eye. So, but you know, these stories in themselves are remarkable, but more remarkably, they point to a pattern where it is a fairly regular occurrence where somebody has a profound near-death experience will come back from it with an extraordinary, right, artistic talent.
Let me ask you, I'm curious, well, how old was Dr. Chicoria when he got struck by lightning?
I don't know. I met.
But well into his mature adulthood?
I don't remember.
He was well into his mature adulthood, however. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. That is wonderful.
His experience was in 1994.
Okay. Wow. So a Toronto, a woman who all of a sudden becomes, not all of a sudden, but her life, her perspective on the world changes and it leads her to become an extraordinary painter, this individual.
And again, I've known, I mean, I know so many of these. Back in the, around 1977 or 78, an artist in California, whose name I forget, sent me some of his prints. From he had his own, I guess, whatever you call it, there is place in California where he sold his art.
Right, his own
and
studio.
And he sent me a couple of his prints of his impressions of the tunnel experience he had.
Oh.
But you know, this is not so uncommon. It's just that I have heard so many of those, and I have not made a special collection of them.
Right. So his work was actually trying to represent his experience during his near-death experience.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Correct.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, but it was also, he had never been an artist before his experience. So, but one of the things he wanted to paint was the tunnel he saw.
Yeah. I would think that would be a fairly common creative motif for people who come out of such an experience.
I would think so too. And I can remember many, I just got so many wonderful pictures over the years from so many people.
Right.
So I just, like, I have a kind of anthology of them in my mind, but also I'm not so good at art.
Well, we're going to hear more about what you are good at when we come back from the break. So folks, you got one more segment left of the show. Come on back and listen to Dr. Moody talk to us about creativity and near-death experiences.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. I'm Carl Nordgren. We're here today with Dr. Raymond Moody, who is the pioneer in the world of near-death experiences. We've just finished a segment where he told us the story about three individuals who became artistic after their experience. They showed no interest in that particular artistry. The woman had no interest in painting. The gentleman had no interest in playing the piano. They had their near-death experiences. They're now possessed with this desire to master these artistic expressions. And so that's so interesting. And you brought up Plato in the first segment.
Yes.
Ray, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but I don't really recall reading anything in Plato's work that is associated with near-death experiences. You want to tell us more about that?
I went to UVA in 1962 with intent on becoming an astronomer.
Uh-huh.
But I read my first couple of days at University of Virginia, I read Plato's Republic, and I was hooked on page 3 or 4. And since that time, most of what I read is ancient Greek philosophy. It's the most fascinating story of history. But anyway, what caught me about the Republic is I had never known any kind of religious background except to make fun of religion. I'll just tell you the truth. My dad was kind of cynical about it at the time, and I was interested in astronomy. And religion was just, and it never had occurred to me that anybody took the notion of an afterlife seriously. So there I was in the first few days at the University of Virginia, engrossed in this book, which is structured around three different ways that the Greeks thought that people could go to the underworld or the afterlife realm. The first was at the sort of beginning of the Republic, the story of a guy named Gyges, and the ground collapsed under him after an earthquake. And he's brought down into the underworld and he discovers a magical ring on a corpse, and he brings it back up and finds it makes him invisible. And so the question is, if you were invisible, would you still be a just person, right? Mm-hmm. But from the Greek point of view, see, that was tumbling down within the underworld, was kind of close encounter with death. Nowadays, it's a hazard here in Florida. And when it happens, people do have that, you know, it's like a very bizarre, eerie event, but it's no longer associated with the afterlife. In the middle of the Republic, there's a story about these places called Oracles of the Dead, where people go and they would have an underground facility where they would, after preparation, you would actually see and kind of visit with apparitions of the deceased. Nothing like mediumship. They just had technology where you could gaze into an optical depth and you'd see the very lifelike apparitions of your deceased loved ones. Then the third one that everybody knew about, at least the educated class, was what we call today near-death experiences. And when it's at the very end of the Republic, and the Republic culminates in this vision of this warrior Ur, who was believed killed in battle, and so his corpse was put aside, and later in the funeral, he magically and just astonishingly came back to life, and he told this story of leaving his body and going through a passageway into another world and seeing a realm where everybody had a kind of marker on, like a tablet, as he analogizes it, on them, where everybody could see all the things they had ever done.
Wow.
And so anyway, at the end of the story, I remember asking Professor Hammond, like, well, what is this? And he said, yeah, these Greek philosophers studied cases of people who were believed to be dead. And he said that Plato took them seriously, but meanwhile, Democritus said that he acknowledged these stories, but he said that they were the invisible atomic biological activity going in the body, even after the body appeared dead, which we have today as the argument that, you know, these result from oxygen deprivation to the brain. So,
right.
Yeah, this goes back a long, long time.
Very interesting.
And it was Plato, in his description of this, he plainly very praised this near-death experience as an exemplar of what we need to be assured of an afterlife. Me, I don't think you can prove an afterlife yet from near-death experiences, but I think that we are in a realm where we just encountered something here that is very, very remarkable. And once you study it, yeah, I mean, this happens.
Whoa.
We don't know what it means, but we know that it's very common.
Well, folks, Dr. Moody's book that kicked all this off, this phenomenon, or this understanding of this phenomena, the study of this phenomena, Life After Life, I mentioned at the top of the show, it was a bestseller when it came out. I'm assuming that it's still available at Amazon.com, Ray?
Yeah, it still is after 50-something years.
All right. Well, the book is there, folks. And, Ray, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank
I sure
you,
appreciate
Carl,
it.
And thanks to the listeners. Thanks for folks listening in.
And all you listeners, please be safe today. And if we're battling a storm, please be safe. And thank you very much for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.